Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius, the governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. And those also went up from Galilee. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known and saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
I want to speak to you from those words in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." No royal birth was ever like that of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. He wasn't born in a palace. There was no beautiful chamber, no soft cradle bed, no place but a manger. Nowhere for his head. No room for Jesus. A dark, dismal, unhygienic outhouse for cattle was his birthplace. No nurse, midwife, or doctor was present. None but Joseph. He wasn't even married to her. He was only the foster father of Jesus, was in attendance for the welfare of the young Virgin Mary. She herself, with no helper, wrapped the infant Jesus in swaddling bands, just pieces of cloth, and then she placed him in a feeding trough for cattle. There was no fanfare by state trumpeters to announce that this prince was born, and yet he was the Prince of Peace. The greatest announcement ever of any birth was made by the angel of the Lord, who came down from heaven with his bright, the bright shining glory of the Lord. No celebrations and jubilations of any earthly monarch at a royal birth could compare with the glorious anthem of the heavenly host, praising God with the everlasting theme, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." No royal proclamation has ever been made to this one, like this one, to a few humble, frightened shepherds as they guarded a flock of sheep in the darkness of the night, lit up by the Lord's messenger. These terrified men heard the message of the Lord God of heaven and earth from his angelic messenger, and having heard the song of the heavenly host, they gazed in wonder and astonishment as that great, indescribable holy throng returned to their heavenly abode after delivering the greatest message ever. The Savior is here. They were frightened. No wonder. Who wouldn't be if you were sitting in the dark and a great light shone around you? But their fright was turned into joy. There was an old caretaker of Winchester Cathedral, and he used to love to tell how the news of the victory at Waterloo came through. At that time, it was only by semaphore. And so the message was given: Wellington defeated. And the fog obliterated the rest of the message. The message got through to London. So sad. Wellington defeated. But the fog lifted and the message came through: Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. And here was the greatest message that came to frightened men, and it was the greatest joyful message that they ever could give to mortal ears. Now I want to think first of all about those shepherds and the sheep. We usually think about the shepherds. Shepherds at that time were an unreliable, untruthful, unfaithful, thieving lot. So much so that they weren't allowed to give evidence in a court of law. Even to this day, I've heard people say, who would believe a lot of shepherds with a story like that? Some have dismissed it. But I am indebted to the great book by Alfred Edersheim, a Jew who became a Christian, who was a scholar, who was a lecturer in theology in Oxford University. He spent 7 years in his research on his great book. And he tells us these weren't ordinary shepherds. These shepherds, he's discovered from his study of the scriptures and the Hebrew letters, he said these were employed by the temple in Jerusalem. And he said the sheep that they were keeping were for the temple sacrifices in that temple. And he said, having discovered this, that the Christians could then see the great significance of the announcement that was made to these temple shepherds about these sheep. Because here was one who had come to put an end to the sacrificial system. He was the one to become the great once for all final sacrifice for the sins of the world. One day these sheep would no longer be needed because Christ had come to fulfill the law. In a few years after his birth, this boy would sit with the doctors of the law in the temple. He would discuss the scriptures with them. They were astonished at his learning. But as Isaiah said, he was like a root out of a dry ground. They didn't recognize that here was the sent one of God, the Messiah. He stood in the temple and said, he was greater than the temple. He one day wept over Jerusalem and told them there wouldn't be one stone left upon another of their temple. He had come to be their Messiah, but they refused him. The shepherds were sent on a mission. They were told, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel of the Lord who gave them that message was the first messenger of the gospel age. But those shepherds were the very first evangelists of it, because they proclaimed to those who heard that a Savior had come. And so we rejoice in the message and the mission of the shepherds. But let's think for a moment of what the message really was. It was about a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Our Lord is given many names and titles. He is given his earthly name, a very common name to this day throughout the world. I saw just a few days ago on television some foreign minister, a lady, and she was called Maria Jesus, someone or other. This was his earthly name. Paul calls him Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. After his resurrection, Luke called him the Lord Jesus. But here he is called Christ the Lord. Henry Alford, a Greek scholar, said this is the only place where he is given this title, and he says it means he is Jehovah, the creator of the world, the one who sustains it all. Christ the Lord, Savior. Great words for the believers this morning. Great words for the unbeliever. Here is Christ, the sent one from heaven. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. The shepherds were told that he was born in the city of David. They knew immediately what that meant. They went straight to Bethlehem Ephratah. There were many Bethlehems, but here is the particular one. It was called the City of David, because it was there that David guarded his father's sheep. It was there David, the great king of Israel, was anointed by Samuel the prophet. It was there that his grandfather Obed was born. It was there, it was the kingly city. And here was one who was born king. Dorothy L. Sayers wrote a play called The Man Born to Be King. I remember how evangelicals raised their voices in opposition to the BBC because of the title, The Man Born to Be King. I can remember one of the students from our own college when it was in Dublin, when I was a young fellow, preaching and scathing the title. He said he wasn't born to be king. He was born king. And he is king. And one day, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess the words in the wall behind this pulpit. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you are a believer in Christ, he is your Lord. If you haven't received him, you can receive him today, even now, and know him as your Lord. But now, for just a few moments, let's think of what the message that the angels gave to the shepherds. He said, it is glad tidings, glad news of great joy. They didn't need another advisor. The world at that time had taken all the advice of philosophers, and they were in a mess. Our world, our nation, this very province, is in a mess. We have had all the advisors imaginable. We need no more advice. We need Christ. We need the Savior. I can so well remember when the war ended in 1945. There was all the talk about a new order. I remember reading about the new order, about what we were going to do. This would be so wonderful, and there'd be joy and gladness. We're worse than ever we were. And we need the Savior. And he is the one who brings joy and gladness. And that is what he was sent into this world to do through the gospel. It is a message of joy to all people. I remember saying to you once before, on the one and only occasion I listened to the Jewish scholar and expositor H.L. Ellison, and he said the most difficult word in all the Bible to interpret is the word all. For it always means the same thing, all. And it is great, joyful news to all people who will hear it and receive it. We used to sing a chorus. I haven't heard it for years. Maybe we haven't got the joy now that chorus spoke about. joy, joy, joy. With joy my heart is ringing. My heart, my sins are all forgiven. My heart is bubbling over with that joy, joy, joy. Is your heart bubbling over with joy? There is all the difference in the world between happiness and joy. Happiness is something that happens, that gives you a sense of elation, an uplift, and it passes away again. 2 or 3 weeks ago, when I was buying my morning paper, I saw the headlines of another paper. A young man. He had won £9 million on the accursed lottery. And now he had it all spent. He was up to the eyes in debt. He had resorted to robbery, and he was being sentenced to prison. Happiness through getting money can give a certain amount of it, but it never gives joy. The believer has joy in his heart, and he has joy in sorrow, because he knows that Christ is in his heart, and he gives that joy, joy, joy. With joy my heart is singing. My heart is, because my sins are all forgiven, my heart is bubbling over with this joy, joy, joy. A few months ago, I read one of the most joyful things I've read for a long time. There was a young man. He was a burglar. And one night, he broke into a house in England, and he robbed it. He said he made 2 mistakes. The first one was he got caught. The other one was he had broken into the house of Christians. He was caught and he was sent to prison. The people who had been robbed, they visited him in prison during his stay there. They prayed with him. They read the scriptures to him. On the day that he was released from prison, he had nowhere to go. They met him at the prison gates. They brought him home. He was astonished to be brought into the house he had burgled. They kept him. They led him to Christ. I don't know what the intervening period was, but he was accepted as a student into Spurgeon's College. And today, he is a pastor in a Baptist church in the worst area of Bradford. There was joy in that man's heart when he was saved and delivered from a past life. But what joyful Christians they were who would bring the burglar back to the home he had wrecked and stolen from, and then brought him into this joyful experience of peace with God, of sins forgiven, of hope of heaven, and to preach the message that delivered him and brought him this deep, deep joy in his heart. Have you got that deep, deep joy down in your heart? Down in your heart to stay, because Christ is is the bringer of joy. It is for all people, not just for housebreakers, thieves, rogues, gamblers, and all other people who have fallen in sin. It is for the nicest and the best, but they all come in the one way. You don't go to the crib at Christmas time. You always come to the Christ who died on the cross and who shed his precious blood to give you the redemption and the joy that flows from knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. Just last week, I heard about a girl at one of our grammar schools. She went to a Scripture Union meeting. She saw another girl there she hadn't seen from they were both at the same primary school. She had prayed for her every day since their ways hadn't parted. And when she met with her, she was so glad to hear that she too had become a Christian. Joy, joy, joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents and believes the gospel. So here is the message that the angels brought from heaven. Unto you is born the Savior, Christ the Lord. There is nothing greater in all the world than to know that you are a Christian, that you have Christ in your heart, in your life, in your mind, and to know that one day you will be with him forever. Do you know the Christ of God? If you do, you know the greatest person who has ever lived. Do you know how great the babe in the manger was? We sang it in that hymn. He built the starry skies. Paul says he is before all things. By him all things consist. The Christ of God became incarnate and he came amongst men. He came unto his own, into his world which he created. He came unto his own people. They didn't want him. But here is the great watershed. As many as receive him, to them he gives the right, the authority to be called the children of the God. Rejoice, believer, in the Lord, who makes his cause your own. The hope that's built upon his word can ne'er be overthrown. Go out this morning and every day to rejoice in the joy of the Lord and in the Christ of God who brings peace in the heart, joy in the life, and eternal hope in the days to come. May the Lord bless these simple words to all our hearts.